I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. Maker of heaven and earth, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but my help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. Maker of heaven and earth, He will not allow my foot to be moved. He who keeps me will not slumber. For the Lord who made the heavens and earth will be my strength forever. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. Maker of heaven and earth.
Welcome, friends, to Discovering a Better Life. Thank you for tuning in to our program today. We hope that what we'll be sharing with you will truly help some of you to live above life's losses. Friends, throughout the centuries, the nations of this world have experienced many wars. Tragically, these wars have produced a great variety of life losses, such as the loss of human life, of limbs, of health, of financial security, of relationships, of self-esteem and hope. All of these losses are real and painful, and often men and women have been brought to the brink of hopelessness because of what they have been called upon to endure in the conflicts of war. November 9th, 1938 has been called the Night of Broken Glass. This was one of the darkest nights in all the grim history of man's inhumanity to man. It was on this night that brown-shirted troopers fanned out across Nazi Germany, and with cruel precision they attacked Jewish homes and businesses. Within a short period of time, the streets were littered with shattered windows. Scores of synagogues were desecrated and destroyed. Many Jewish men were dragged from their homes and sent to unknown destinations. This was the beginning of the Nazi program, which was Hitler's fiendish final solution to the Jewish problem. The Night of Broken Glass marked the onslaught of Shoah, the Holocaust. It was a time when human barbarity reached its deepest depths. In fact, the scar on history is so ugly and deep that the world will never be the same again. Friends, you and I might imagine that if we had lived through such horrors, hope might have seemed hopeless. Indeed, it would be difficult to keep even a flickering flame of confidence alive. However, one of the most touching stories to come out of the Holocaust is the often told tragedy of Anne Frank. As a Jewish teenager, she and her family lived for 2 years walled up in the attic of an Amsterdam office building. Finally, they were betrayed by a false friend, which ended in their being captured by the Nazis and sent to concentration camps. Anne died at the age of 15 in the gas chambers of Belsen. However, just before the Gestapo broke down the door of the family's hiding place, Otto Frank said, "For 2 years we have lived in fear. Now we can live in hope." Friends, that kind of hope is life's only answer, and sometimes, paradoxically, harsh and bitter experience is able to bring sweet insight into God's endless love and saving grace. I believe Ernest Gordon illustrates this truth when he tells the story of the turning point in his life in his book Through the Valley of the Kwai. Gordon was a Scottish soldier who had been captured in 1942 while trying to escape the grasp of the Japanese army, and for 3.5 years he was a prisoner of war. During the same period of time, from 1942 to 1945, many thousands of Australian service personnel, including 71 women of the Australian Army Nursing Service, became prisoners of war of the Japanese. Only 14,000 survived those 3.5 years after varying harsh experiences at the hands of their Asian captors. Some prisoners were murdered overtly by bayoneting, by shooting, by drowning, or decapitation. Some were murdered covertly by being worked beyond human endurance, or by starvation, torture, or medical neglect. And as their need for labourers grew, the Japanese drove the prisoners from one prison camp to another. until they finally wound up at Chiang Kai. Their task was to build a railroad for the Japanese army, and this project required clearing jungle and laying track through hundreds of kilometers of hills and rocks in 12 months, even though the job would normally require 5 or 6 years to complete. During this time, the men were afflicted by various diseases. Gordon himself suffered from malaria, beriberi, amoebic dysentery, an unidentifiable blood infection, and a case of diphtheria, which left him unable to use his legs. In addition to this, he had suffered an emergency appendectomy. In essence, he was dying, and he had been laid in what was called the death house. Then, one evening, a friend named Tom Rigdon came to see Gordon. He had organized the building of a small hut which Gordon would have all to himself. Naturally, Gordon and everyone else assumed that he would die in this private death house. Tom Rigdon also recruited the help of Dusty Miller, and his services consisted of bringing Gordon's daily ration of rice, giving him a bath, and treating his ugly skin ulcers with saline dressings. A third prisoner named Dinty Moore stepped in to assist Dusty Miller. Later, Ernest Gordon was to write of Dusty and Dinty and say, "Their care and patience were successful substitutes for the medicines that were beyond my reach. No man could have asked for better friends. They put me on the road to recovery." Gordon then went on to write that in each, it was their faith that lent a special grace to their personalities. Through them, faith expressed a power, a presence greater than themselves. Gordon continued by saying, "I was beginning to see that life was infinitely more complex and more wonderful than I had ever imagined. True, there was hatred, but there was also love. There was death, but there was also life. God had not left us. He was with us. He was with us, calling us to live the divine life in fellowship. I was beginning to feel the miracle that God was working in the death camp by the River Kwai." Not long after this observation by Gordon, a group of Australian soldiers came and said, "We've been wondering if there isn't something to the Christianity business after all. We've seen the worst there is. Now we feel there must be something better." They then asked Gordon to guide them in their search. The number of searchers began to grow, and eventually the Church Without Walls was born in the Chiang Kai camp. And in this fellowship, there was worship and study, there was ministry and community singing, and there was a new respect for life. And the newborn faith within this unique community empowered Ernest Gordon to survive his ordeal as he committed his life to Jesus Christ. In fact, when Gordon eventually returned home to his native Scotland, he married, went to theological college, and eventually became dean of the chapel at Princeton University. Some years after the war, Gordon received a letter from a former prisoner who had read his book and had noticed that a serious omission had been made. The friend wrote, "Do you remember when you were lying in your little death house at Chiang Kai, very ill, with dysentery and lots more, and you needed emmetine? Well, Tom Rigdon sold his gold Rolex to a Japanese soldier for 120 tickles, which was enough to get the extreme extra emmetine you needed. That saved your life, Ernest." Gordon thought back to the day when a medical officer came to his hut and said, "We've been able to buy some emmetine on the black market to give you 12 injections. "But why me?" he had asked. "There are so many. Give it to someone else." But the medical officer said, "No, this lot of emmetine is for you. Some of us think that you can do something worthwhile with your life after this war is all over. That's why we are prepared to gamble that you'll live." Gordon was deeply moved by this compassionate act and went on to state in his book that emmetine came as an undeserved gift. "I had not the faintest idea that it was from Tom Rigdon. Never once did he hint that he made the medicine possible. I was a victim of his grace." Friends, today I've used this true story of Ernest Gordon to illustrate that it is possible to live a life of hope, even though we may be called upon to experience some terrible losses in our lifetime. In fact, Christians like Ernest Gordon are people who have occupied the death house without hope or meaning. Then someone came to us and said, "What you need and must have to live has been purchased for you at a precious price." Why is this so? Well, the answer is because someone thinks you and I can do something worthwhile with our life. And that someone, who happens to be Jesus Christ, is prepared to do what it takes to see to it that you live. Friends, with the offer of such boundless grace, only one response makes any sense. We pay whatever price must be paid. We sacrifice everything else for the supreme value of possessing the priceless treasure of God's special way of living. And the ultimate turning point in our life is when we perceive and receive God's grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. Perhaps the words of the song we're going to play for you now might help some of you to better understand that it is only by holding on to Jesus that we are realistically able to rise above life's losses.
Every little baby comes into the world reaching for an anchor, fingers tightly curled, grasping for reason without knowing why. We will cling to anything till the day we die. We can hold on to sorrow, hold on to pain. We can hold on to anger when there is nothing to be gained. We can hold to a
pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, you have promised us that there would be faith and strength and hope to meet life's problems. Father, I ask you today, please give that strength to those whose anxieties have buried their dreams, whose illnesses have hospitalized their hope, and whose burdens are bigger than their shoulders. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Friends, thank you for taking the time to listen to what we've shared with you today. Perhaps you have been burdened by some losses in your life, and perhaps these losses have created hurts which have produced within you a negative attitude and a sense of despondency towards life. If so, we'd like you to know that help is available, and we encourage you to write for a small booklet that will help you to live above your life's losses. This booklet is titled, Can a Person Live Above Life's Losses? And it's yours free upon request. All you need to do to receive your complimentary copy is to write to A Better Life Ministries, Post Office Box 1540, Albany, Western Australia, 6331. If you prefer, you may phone your request to 98418418. That address again, Post Office Box 1540, Albany, Western Australia, 6331. Until next week, friends, may God lift each of you up on eagle's wings and give you peace and hope.
Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you.
Oh, how He loves you.
Oh, how He loves me.
Oh, how He loves me.
Oh, how He loves you. To Calvary did go, His love for mankind to show.